This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Rolling to hour number two on a football Friday. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming to you live from Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection, Bart Scott. It starts with Patron. Nothing.
I did a lot with Patron.
What'd you do?
I made a lot of great decisions in my life on the Patron.
Well, I mean,
shout out to Patron making a comeback, man.
I didn't know it needed to come back from something.
Hey, it's a competitive world out there in the tequila world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you can get lost.
They got a nice, smooth tequila. You know what I'm saying? You make a lot of good drinks with tequila, too.
It's Friday, man.
Yeah, I could use some. I can use some. Where's the cases? Where's the cases?
That's a great point.
We hopping up Patron. Where's the case? We should have some Patron right here in the middle of the table.
Whatever happened to
on the rocks?
Whatever happened to the body armor, by the way?
We could mix body armor with Patron.
Well, I mean, now you're talking.
The juice with the juice.
Yeah. But, like, where does this stuff go?
I don't know.
Oh, we're going to send you guys stuff. All right, great. Sounds good. Never shows up. Or it does.
We can have a whole segment. Sip it Saturday. Sip it Sunday.
Sip it. Well, I don't want to work on Sunday.
No, we're just going to say we're going to sip it on Sunday. We're just, like, sip it on Sunday.
Try it on Friday, sip it on Sunday?
Yep. We could have a different recipe for our listeners to have a featured drink every single week.
Mm-hmm.
New drink.
I just think we should have Tequila Tuesday instead of Taco Tuesday. What's wrong with that?
I'm with it. Because just think, you coming off Monday Night Football, you ain't got nothing else to do.
Nope. And you got two days going
on,
to worry about.
Ain't nothing going on Wednesday.
Middle of the week, you got to get through. Right? I mean, I just feel like if we're going to do something, you got to be all in and do it. Tequila Tuesday.
Let's put it in.
Hey, by the way, we're on in lunchtime.
Yeah.
Right, in New York and the East Coast, we're on in lunchtime.
That's really happy hour.
I mean, you know,
it's really happy hour. I mean,
I can't understand why that can't be something that could be part of a show. What do they say? Oh, well, you really can't. Technically, you can't drink on radio. Well, who says you can't?
They don't know what's in our drink.
I mean, you shouldn't drink a lot on radio, but you could have a sip, right?
Can I ask? I want to ask our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
When you go have your lunchtime, how many of you guys consume alcohol when you go out for lunch before you come back to work?
I mean, back in the day, like if you watch Mad Men, I mean, it was, you know, a scotch and a cigarette before you went back.
Yeah, that's
like lunches cool. Were like, you know, the three martini lunch?
You need that.
Come so back in time to get my coat and go home, catch my train.
you need that so you won't ask some of your coworkers what the five fingers say to the face.
Maybe.
Sometimes you need that.
Sometimes you need it. Just loosen up.
I wonder how many, if you partake in adult beverages during your lunchtime before going back to work, I'll let your boys.
Yeah, is that something that is still fairly common? A little drink, lunch. I get you through.
Yeah.
Tequila Tuesdays. Who wants it on our show? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got calls. We want to get to those. Let's do that right now, Bart, because we've got plenty of people to talk to. Nikki is in Indiana. We're playing a little Prove It or Lose It with Nikki. How you doing?
I'm good. Okay, so I want to just start off real fast by saying I've been a Colts season ticket holder since 2019.
Mm.
We literally got our ticket box in the mail about 2 days before Andrew Luck
said goodbye. Wow.
Oh, that hurts.
Right. It's been a whirlwind. And I've always been a big, right? I've always been a huge Jeff Saturday fan. And our tickets are right next to the Anvil in Lucas Oil. And I got to meet Saturday a couple weeks ago. So Monday, when all this news started coming out, I was like, holy cow.
Yep.
Well, I'm literally finishing packing right now because in the middle of the summer, we got tickets to go to the Colts Raiders game. To go to Vegas.
Mm.
We're taking my grandmother for her 87th birthday to see the Colts play in Vegas.
That's
so
awesome.
We've been building up to this trip.
Think about your timing. Your timing and this whole thing has been incredible. You get your season tickets. Andrew Luck's done.
Right.
Then you decide, let's go to Vegas and go see the Colts play the Raiders. And it's Jeff Saturday's debut, which, you know, has been a bit controversial, though we love Jeff. And a little bit later on, you're going to hear what Jeff had to say, which got me all fired up. So, Nikki, I kind of feel like maybe this is – you're going to see the beginning
synergy,
of something.
Yeah. Maybe you should go see Usher, too, while you're out there. Take grandma to see Usher, too.
Yes.
My way.
He loves Usher.
There you go. Throw that into the mix.
I called him one time during The Voice.
So you're going
– I got to go.
You're packing. You got to go. All right. We'll let you go. Safe travels, Nikki. just said she had to go.
Hey, she's trying to catch that flight, man. You listen, you'll be late to the airport if you want to. Grandma, you know, older people always want to be early. You know what I mean?
You know, like somewhere she was like talking on the phone, and like her, like somebody's doing this to her, like
what are you doing? I'm on hold. They ain't picked up yet.
For more news from Barton Hahn Nation, let's see. We've got Dave in Pennsylvania hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call line. What's up, Dave?
Hey, fellas. How you doing? Good. I listen to you guys every day. First off, I want to give a shout out to all the veterans there. Happy Veterans Day.
Absolutely.
My thing, Bart, I've been listening to you all week about Dak not being a top 10 quarterback. I'm a Detroit Lions fan. I called in a couple weeks ago when we talked about the whole trading Hawkins and thing. I don't really feel that he is a top 10 quarterback. I'd say maybe 11, 12.
Yeah.
But the way he plays, it kind of reminds me of growing up. Like I'm watching Dan Marino all over.
Dan Marino.
Putting up the yards and the stats.
Oh, yeah.
But when it comes to playoff time, he's never winning the big games.
Yeah. To your point, he's 8-24 against quarterbacks with like winning records or something like that. It's some stat out there like that.
I love how you did that. You gave me a stat that sounded like, I was like, wow, that's it. And then you're like, or something like that. Which gives you the qualifier of, I saw it. I don't know if I'm exactly right.
No, it's 18. I know it's 18. He's 18-24, his record, like in quarterbacks, like with winning records, like mm-hmm. over 500 or something. So that means when he goes against Brady, Rodgers, all those other guys, he's
But it also
below
means that his team.
No, don't give me that. But he hasn't elevated them in the big moments, in the big spots.
I don't like the quarterback versus quarterback thing. When he faces winning quarterbacks, he loses. Because he's facing good teams.
Maybe
his team wasn't good enough. It's not like we're playing one-on-one. It's not like Kevin Durant versus LeBron James and they're guarding each other.
It's like when Josh Allen goes against Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, I expect that not to be a one-sided, lopsided affair. It can't be. 5-0, nothing like that. You got to be able to show up. It can't be like
anytime.
But he's
never on the field with Patrick Mahomes.
It don't matter. It can't be like when Ben Simmons. So what? Well, it's his job to get him on the field. You know how you get him on the field? By scoring a touchdown.
That's right.
Your turn.
Oh, no.
My turn. Your turn.
That part I'm with you. That part I'm with you. It's okay. He did something. Now I got to answer. I get that. But they're never actually against each other. There's other guys that are involved in it.
But this whole notion that Dak Prescott hasn't had a good team his entire career.
I agree.
He's had talent and personnel every single year. That's why every year we got to listen to these obnoxious Cowboy fans tell us that this is the year. Right? They never came in like, well, this ain't really the year. Right? It was always the year. When he took over, it was a team with Tony Romo that they thought could go.
Okay.
And they went to the postseason that year.
Mm-hmm.
So don't give me that, oh, he's never had a great team. Stop
no,
it.
No, nobody said he's never had a great team. What I mean I don't think he's ever had a great team. They've had good
teams. What about
the
team last year? What about the talent? Let's talk about the talent. Amari Cooper, he had a relatively decent offensive line.
Their offensive line was banged up.
No. Lionel Collins,
they had injuries.
No, Lionel Collins, that's
By the end of the year, they had some guys back, but they had to wait.
But still, that's every team.
Okay.
That's every team, right? Fair. So they had two premier receivers, a premier tight end that they pay a lot of money to, two running backs in Pollard and Collins.
Mm-hmm.
Pollard and Ezekiel, right?
Yeah, I know. Man.
So what else do you want on the offense side of the ball? On the defense side of the ball, they had Randy Gregory. They still had Diggs, who led the league in interceptions. They had DeMarcus Lawrence on that side. They had Parsons, Van Der Esch. So where did he ever not have a good team? He had a good enough
team. Last year was
a
good team, and what happened at the end of that game, everybody blamed on the head coach. It's as simple, certainly,
Man,
as that.
How did they get to the end of that game?
Let's get to more news from Barton Hahn Nation. We've got Raymond in Florida hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call line. Raymond?
What's going on, guys?
Cool. How you doing? Potatoes.
Hey, Alan, I got two comments, one for Alan, one for Bart. Alan, I called you a couple of weeks ago about Justin Fields, and I told you that he couldn't hit himself throwing the ball. What we gave him praise about last week about his running is exactly why I'm not completely sold. Running quarterbacks mean they get undervalued wide receivers, and when it's time for them to throw the ball, he still can't hit the receivers.
Mm.
And then, Bart, your best argument for Dak not –
He hit Mooney.
Yeah,
but I know what Ray's saying. I know what Raymond's saying. I definitely understand what he's talking about.
Bart, your biggest argument against Dak Prescott is that the Cowboys won in spite of him not even being there. Cooper Rush did the job. So if a backup can do the job, then that means that they're not winning because of that. They're winning in spite of him. So that's the biggest argument, that he's not a top 10 quarterback. top ten quarterback with the talent he has lifts his team above the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're not above the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, we'll see when they go head to head, Raymond.
Because that game, Dak wasn't in that game. And that game was competitive.
And it was, yeah. And again, let's not get crazy about Cooper Rush. I mean, he just did the job, but the running game emerged, and that was the change in the season for the Dallas Cowboys. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. It's Progressive's 10th Keys to Progress giveaway for veterans. This year, the goal is to gift a vehicle to a recipient, small business, or nonprofit in every state. See more about their annual giveaway at keystoprogress.com.
Whether it's, you know, Buffalo, whether it was, you know, Green Bay calling the Cowboys, whether it's reunion with the Giants.
Everybody has nothing but great things to say about him. Obviously, I've always been so impressed with his football playing ability.
All options lead to the Dallas Cowboys.
Odell is someone that we have all the appreciation in the world for what he is as a competitor. The Cowboy star on that helmet, when he puts it on, could look pretty good.
A lot of Dallas Cowboys talk today. It's the Hot Ticket brought to you by Vivid Seats to celebrate 11-11. It's November 11th. They're giving away $5,000 today on Twitter. 5G. Visit twitter.com/VividSeats for your chance to win. Let's talk more Cowboys right now with our Cowboys reporter here at ESPN. It's Todd Archer, who joins us right now. Todd, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Great. All right, so let's continue to focus on 11 since, again, this is November 11th, and I just did that read, so let's put it all together. Micah Parsons and that Cowboys defense going up to Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers and that team that just can't seem to win. Is this a nightmare for Aaron Rodgers, or like you just have this feeling that at Green Bay, all this negativity happening around him, could Aaron Rodgers actually put up one of those special games against this defense?
I think for Cowboys fans, they expect – they know Aaron Rodgers has delivered them so many nightmares over the years in playoffs and things like that, that they're expecting that level of Aaron Rodgers, whether he doesn't have any receivers or no running backs, right? I mean, they're ready for Aaron Rodgers to put on a show, and I'm sure he wants to put on a show in facing his old coach for the first time. But from the Cowboys' defensive perspective, they're not scared of anybody in how they want to go into these games. They believe they're one of the best units in the league. And you mentioned the guy, number 11, Micah Parsons. He's a huge reason why. I mean, he's just everywhere. And not that he's going to confuse Aaron Rodgers with anything where he lines up or anything like that, but he can just change a game in a moment's notice. And the Cowboys, when they've played Aaron Rodgers in the past, haven't really had a defensive player like that probably since DeMarcus Ware, when he was in his prime.
But yeah, Mike McCarthy going back home. And before the season started, it was really questions around his future with the team. You know, we didn't know if Kellen Moore, maybe, if they struggled, or
Dan Quinn.
You know, we know that it's always the elephant in the room is Sean Payton. You know, how much did him winning with Cooper Rush and having early success, you know, secure his future? And could we see maybe an extension going on, or do we have to wait and see to the playoffs? Is everything, you know, weighed on how they perform once they get to the playoffs? Because before the season, you know, you think about Jerry Jones, he said that, you know, they have to go deep into the season. And if they don't, and they fail to do that, are we right back to square one with McCarthy maybe, you know, job in jeopardy?
Yeah, I think this whole season was about not getting a 6-2. And the way they've done it without having Dak for the five games and all that, that's impressive. But this whole team was and season was about doing more than what they've done here in 25 years. And look, they've not been to a Super Bowl, not been to a conference title game, you know, in a very, very long time. So how last season ended, you know, they could be 15-2 here and going into the playoffs. And if they don't make it to a conference title game, then, you know, they really didn't do anything different than what they did the previous year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Mike McCarthy's done a good job this year of dealing with all the stuff that's come up with this job and his status, and basically just saying, look, if it doesn't affect winning, I don't care about it. He's done a great job of having his team be focused on not who they don't have, whether it's Dak or Tyron Smith or whatever's happening at the receiver spot or things like that. So he deserves a lot of credit for where they are right now. But I think the clock flips back to zero again when the playoffs roll around, because Jerry set it up that way. He mm-hmm. said this is a team that it has to do more than they've done in the past.
Yeah, Todd, it's like the big brand teams, you know, the Lakers, the Yankees, the Cowboys, it always seems like for their fan bases, you can have a great regular season, but it's never going to matter until you do something in the postseason, especially for teams that have been waiting a long time, like the Cowboys and obviously the Yankees. It's been over a decade now. It feels like the big brand teams can have great regular seasons, and it's not enough for the fan base. It's always about, well, what are you going to do when winning time matters the most? And, I mean, I imagine that this franchise continues to be held to that standard, whether they deserve it or not.
Absolutely. You know, look, Dak Prescott is compared to a lot of the top quarterbacks in the league, but here locally and, I guess, nationally because of the branding of the team, he's held to the standard of Roger Staubach and Troy Aikman. Mm-hmm. Tony Romo was held to that same standard. Danny White was held to that same standard. So it's about what you do in the playoffs that matters here for the Cowboys because of their history, because of their brand. And it's over the top because, as Bart knows, it's hard to win a Super Bowl. Like, not everybody does it. But this year, with the way things are lining up, there's not a team, and I granted Philadelphia is undefeated. I got all that. But tell me the other team that's better than the Cowboys right
running
now.
Running away. I don't know.
Minnesota?
Right.
Man, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So, and this is what the second half of the season is all about. And it's also about, you know, making sure that you can stack the deck, as every team that felt like they were close, you know, decided to, you know, push a couple extra chips into the middle of the table. Dallas really didn't do that. I know they got Jonathan Hankins because they were struggling with stopping the run, so they wanted to get a big fatty right there. But, you know, you look at what San Francisco did with CMC. You look what, you know, Philadelphia did with
Robert Quinn.
You look at what the Ravens did with Raekwon Smith. Did the Dallas Cowboys do enough, and are they banking too much of their hopes on being able to convince Odell Beckham to come see to them so they can try and maybe have a loaded a stacked deck for Dak Prescott?
It's kind of a loaded question in a sense. Did they do enough? Well, no, because they didn't add a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And they had discussions about Brandon Cooks, but what they believe that what Houston wanted and that $18 million guarantee that he has in 2023 didn't. None of that stuff really matched up. There were discussions with the Broncos about Jerry Jeudy. Once Chubb got traded, I think those things went out the window. So, and then they were never really in on Claypool. They didn't think that he would have been a massive upgrade over what they had to change the dynamics of the offense. So then you look at Odell, and you guys played the sounds before I came in here. You know, this is as open a recruiting session that I have ever seen the Cowboys put on a guy.
This would be tampering if he was
2003.
Yeah,
it's open tampering. It's like dating season. I feel like he's this Chuck Woolery, and I feel like we just hosting and seeing or the Bachelor with Odell Beckham.
This is cuffing season now. We do know, like, that's what it is right before the holidays. So this is what it's about. But you're right, Todd, because that's what I was going to ask you. Is like it is amazing how. Like, all right, so the Rams, who had him, did acknowledge that, you know, what they offered was fair. Like, that was a couple of weeks ago when it came out that Odell felt disrespected by what the Rams offered. So there's one team that talked about him, and I think it was Joe Shane of the Giants GM, did at least acknowledge, like, yeah, we'd look into it, Odell. But it was very, like, tame. This has been a recruitment. It's from Jerry, from Mike McCarthy.
Right.
Does it make you feel, and does your spidey senses start tingling like, okay, let's get ready because Odell's coming?
It does, but I also, maybe it's just the cynic in me that says you might as well prepare for him not coming here, because when's the last time the Cowboys have added a major, major free agent, you know? And look, there's also questions about his health, right? I mean, he's not been around a team, and I'm not saying he doesn't work hard and he's been through this rehab before, so he knows all this stuff. But until a team gets its hands on him to know the actual state of that knee and where he at is at in his rehab, it's hard to say, okay, the Cowboys signed him. He's going to play the following week and be Odell what we saw in the Super Bowl before he got hurt. So, you know, I almost want to temper expectations for Cowboys fans, because you're just going to get disappointed if they don't sign him, because I do think there's elements of, hey, where's his health? And B, what are the finances going to be?
Yeah.
And the Cowboys next year aren't in good shape when it comes to the cap and how they can do some things. But I do think when you're at a situation where it's 25 plus years and you've not won a Super Bowl, forget the future and just go for it. And this open recruiting makes me think, ultimately, they're going to end up with Odell somehow, and this is their version of going for it.
And the expectations will go through the roof because of where it is, right? Nowhere else would he sign nowhere else could he sign that would get the hype that it would if he did it with Dallas. And then there's, of course, like you just mentioned, and you're right, it's meeting the expectations. It's the hype meeting expectations, which is so difficult to do when you're coming off a second ACL. You got to follow one more. Okay, good.
I cause a bit of a stir up around these hair parts.
I don't know if Todd Archer, have you heard what Bart had to say about Dak Prescott?
Well, I know Tad doesn't like you.
Well, it's nothing personal. I had Dak Prescott. The first time I met him was at my financial literacy program at the Senior Bowl. So it's not personal. But, you know, we know what his record is against other elite quarterbacks. It's below 500. You know, but what is the feeling locally about Dak Prescott? Because you mentioned your financial situation. There's a lot of that has to be because of the massive contract that he signed. With that comes higher expectations. And he's been a good quarterback, but he hasn't been one of these guys that we look at like Josh Allen, like Patrick Mahomes. But he's paid like him. And I think to a certain extent, he thinks he's one of those guys. Has he arrived? Is he in there? Should we look at him that way? And how does people around Dallas look at him?
I would say before the bye week last year, he was in that MVP conversation with how well he was playing and how well his team was playing. Then he has the calf injury and things just aren't the same at the end of the year. And obviously they lose against San Francisco in the playoffs. And then this year he gets hurt in the opener. I think it goes back to what we talked about before, what the expectations fans have of Cowboys quarterbacks. And it's like, okay, you've got this contract. Okay. You know, you've got a team that's won, but not now you have to make the ultimate step and the ultimate jump. And can he do it? Look, he looked really good against Chicago in the second game back. I think we do need to remember this is a guy that's only played in, 11 quarters this season. It's week 9. This is his first road game. So he's still working his way back in. And I think the Chicago game was the start of something with that passing game and with the offense of how they really want to look. And I think this next, you know, they got 3 games in 12 days, and they're you got McCarthy's homecoming, you got Minnesota, and then you got the Giants on Thanksgiving. I think what people might think about Dak right now could be a lot different than what people are thinking about after they're finishing their Thanksgiving dinner if they beat the Giants and then they go 3-0 in the stretch. Mm. I think then he starts answering questions. But again, like I said about McCarthy, that clock resets to 0 once they get to the playoffs, because it is about what you do, especially at that position, and especially for this team, it's about what you do in the postseason.
Yeah, knowing you're 1-3 in the postseason as a quarterback. All right, just a yes or no, because we got to run. But Bart is dying to get your answer on this one, because it's another one of his takes. When he said,
yes or no, that's not good. I don't like that one.
It's a simple, because he wants to know who agrees with him. He believes that Jalen Hurts has already passed Dak Prescott as a quarterback. Yes or no on your side?
No.
There you go. See? Another person that disagrees with you, Bart.
Your passcode works for one more weekend.
All by yourself. Todd, thanks so much for the time.
I'm not
all the
by
best.
Myself, damn it. Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of people in Philadelphia that agrees with me.
Yes, you are. Todd Archer, ESPN Cowboys reporter, and he disagrees with Bart.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll get to your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But you know what? We got some college hoops going on tonight, Bar Scott. It is Veterans Day. And tonight we got the Armed Forces Classic tonight. You got, oh, you're going to love this. It's personal for you. Mm-hmm. Michigan State takes on Gonzaga. That's the program that just won't go away. Drew Timmy's been there for like 100 years.
They can't win nothing.
Drew Timmy's like Van Wilder. He's never going to graduate.
They can't close the show, man. Well, are they ever going to win anything?
Another year. By the way, the game tonight presented by Disabled American Veterans. Coverage begins 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Let's talk a little hoops right now with Sean Respert, the Michigan State basketball great all-time leading scorer. Big Ten Player of the Year back in the day, Bart Scott, as well.
3-1-3rd.
Yes, a Detroit native. Sean, how we doing?
I'm doing fine. I appreciate you guys letting me get on here and come out of this dark cave I've been in for a little while. It feels like it's since COVID.
Hey, man, I tell you man, we are honored, man. Glad to have you on. I love having somebody from the hood. Bishop Borges, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you had that smunny.
Listen, Bart, when you say, all I got to say to you is, what up, though?
What up, though?
No, thank you, guys. It's been an incredible, journey. And, you know, for me, and Bart knows it more. I mean, Alan, I crossed paths with you with there was a kid that played as a freshman when you were a senior at St. Anthony's, Damian Haskett. He says, tell Alan I said hello. You know, when you talk to him, you may not remember. I said, shit, you may not remember Alan. So I don't know who has the better card, whether you play with Roderick and Barley, Bobby. Were you like a couple of
guys? See, that's the problem. And I always get this. This always happens. My St. Anthony's was Long Island St. Anthony's. So we had the nice cars in the parking lot, but they were our parents' cars. It's a lot different.
Oh, Lord. You went to that St. Anthony's.
That was there. That's the Kenny Atkinson St. Anthony's. That's the St. Anthony's I'm talking about.
There you go.
That's
no, I'm excited. I'm excited. I took some time off. I was coaching for a long time. And during COVID, my dad unfortunately got sick and he developed Alzheimer's and dementia. So I just decided to stay home and just take care of him, and give some time. Bart, as you know, with a that's long a career in pro sports, we get our time. It's very very hard to get that time back. And I'm just glad I got an opportunity to spend some time with my pops. You know, still hanging on, doing as well as he can, and just, taking advantage of that.
Absolutely.
It's a blessing, I was in a similar situation. I lost my grandmother last November with a 8-year bout with dementia. It's a horrible disease, but, the fact that you can spend time with them, as we all have to make that transition, you won't regret it.
Yeah. So, well, I tell you what, I'm excited about that game tonight, too, with Michigan State. I mean, I heard you joking about Drew Time. And, I got somebody to match the amount of years he's been in college. We got Joey Hauser, who's played 5 years and probably still got 3 years of eligibility.
I swear, though, I was watching the promo and I see Drew Timmy in that mustache. I'm going,
come on, man.
He hasn't graduated yet? Is he like grad assistant? Like, where is he at this point? But
he got a medical red shirt. He got the regular red shirt. He got two COVID red shirts.
That's what it is. It just, but you know
he
what?
Is a throw, he is a throwback pitcher to the Playboy All-American team.
No doubt. But like for Michigan State, though, again, this stage, I mean, it's nothing new, obviously. But, the matchup tonight, though, is on the deck of a battleship. Like, have you ever had that kind of experience in your playing days? Like, because you might not feel it when you're standing on it, but a ship does list a little bit left, right, left, right. I can't imagine that's going to be a normal game tonight.
You know, if I was recognized as a shooter, it would feel like it was playing basketball right at the shores of Chicago, right off the lakefront. Mm-hmm. I don't know if logistically may not be the best thing, but it's at this point it's not about that. It's about recognizing some things. My dad's a veteran; mm-hmm. He served in the Air Force, and he was in Vietnam. So I mean, I'm glad that there's an awareness, and it's not about just the basketball game. It's awareness of helping, I think, young athletes stick to a cause. Look at history where athletes and previous people have been and try to attach themselves practice having some humility about how they get the opportunities they got based on some of the people who had to pay some prices for other things before them.
No doubt. I should point out, too, so on a cruise ship once, I was in a shooting contest. basketball. He had a basketball hoop.
You won?
And I won. So it just shows you I was a terrible shooter. But on a boat that moved,
it's like, white man can't jump. Out here on the ship, the boat can make the ball move 2 inches to the left and 2 inches to the right.
Yeah, yeah. He just aim it toward the side of the backboard and let it blow back.
It's the first time I ever knew what it was like to be on fire. No question about that. But apparently, though, and we're talking with Sean Resper, Michigan State, great. You know, tonight you got the Armed Forces Classic, Michigan State taking on Gonzaga. It's presented by Disabled American Veterans, and we have coverage for you on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. It starts at 6 p.m. Eastern. And aside from basketball, apparently you agree with Bart on some football takes that he's had recently.
Well, I agree with one thing for sure, like because I can't wait either. you know, the one thing for me, I feel like professional sports is in a weird place right now. I think, you know, for me, football wise. We're starting to see this emergence of athletes having access to places that we never had access to. And we just got to be careful how fast we allow them to get through some of the doors. It doesn't mean that it's not deserving. I just think it's a place that we have to be educated a little bit more on with college athletes, with pro athletes, into having the voices that they have so that they understand that responsibility comes with, you know, this great opportunity to be in front of the cameras, in front of microphones, and just, you know, speak with caution instead of with such freedom. And that it's a hard place to be right now in sport.
Mm-hmm. No, and that's the social media, obviously a big part of that too, because a lot of things that are said just get blown up sometimes. And as we saw last week with Kyrie, it can do that.
Yeah, everybody goes viral. So it was instant. You know, we live in a society where people are famous for not really accomplishing much, and we crown them too soon, and then – you know, we give them a crown, and then when they disappoint us, we realize they were never, you know, deemed or never worthy of that crown and that title to begin with. How much would you be worth in college right now, NIL right now?
Oh, what would be the brand? Who would you?
You can openly get them envelopes. You ain't got to get them in the back alley no more.
Yeah, okay. Those envelopes were handed out a lot easier in Ann Arbor. I'll tell you that.
Jalen, Jalen.
There were more envelopes in Ann Arbor.
What's interesting is, like, for me, as a shooter, as a scorer, it's fun to realize, like I was always I'm still a huge popcorn, like movie theater popcorn all day. I could do that all day. And red licorice, I could do that all day. So, I mean, I would have loved to parlay that into like a pregame snack, you know. Uh-huh. I don't know. But Bar, here's my only issue right now. You know, I'm a former basketball player. Yes, retired. But when I walk around, I live in Houston. When I walk around the city of Houston right now, I get tired of people mixing me up that I play for the Texans.
They think you're Andre Johnson?
I don't know who they think, but I have zero affiliation with as a former basketball player. Now they look at me and they think I'm a former football player. So,
well, how you filled out? Have you filled out a little bit? You know what I mean?
I'm probably at 225.
You like a receiver all day. They know you did something.
Yeah, but the problem is, then I need to get some of that pension, that NFL pension.
the money definitely in the NFL a little bit different, isn't it? Sean, we got to leave it there, man. But it was great to catch up with you. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you, guys. You guys, congratulations with everything too.
All right, appreciate you. All the best, Sean Resper. Again, Michigan State basketball great. Always fun to just have a conversation with him about that. And again, you have the game tonight, Michigan State and Gonzaga. Coming up, we mentioned it. How about we get into it? The latest on Kyrie Irving, Adam Silver, and Nets owner Joe Tsai having something to say after meeting with him. You'll hear it next. Barton Hunt, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, halfway crooks. So we mentioned it when we were talking with Sean Resper. So let's just update everybody because there is some news on the Kyrie front. And it's, it's certainly positive news, which I think we all could use right now because this thing was a pretty heated story.
A
bad story. A bad story for him, for the league, for everything.
Everybody included.
So Adam Silver met with Kyrie Irving, as he said he wanted to. And he, a story now that is out, he said he has, quote, no doubt that Kyrie Irving is not anti-Semitic. Well, that's nice. Right? Right. Okay, great. But he said he had a direct and candid conversation with him earlier this week.
About an hour, right?
So this is in an interview, I guess, with the New York Times. Now, remember, if anybody who doesn't know the whole backstory, is Kyrie Irving posted something that included a link to a film on Amazon that was a documentary that contained some anti-Semitic, I don't know.
And some quotes from Hitler.
Quotes
I guess
like
say
that,
right? I it's Hitler.
Yeah,
that,
I guess you just said that. Yeah, but it was something that even C.J. McCollum, who is part of the Players Association Executive Board, said that Kyrie basically, you know, posted something about a movie that he didn't see.
Is that confirmed that he didn't see it?
And that's something that I would love Kyrie to just say, you know, I didn't really watch it. But C.J. McCollum said that. Yeah. So does C.J. know something, whatever it is? It's like, because I'm like, all right, that's it's a mistake, but it's way more forgivable than, no, I believe this and I'm digging in.
Yeah.
But Adam Silver wanted to talk to him. And that happened. Now, this is also in the wake of him being suspended without pay, Nike and Phil Knight coming public with the idea that they are they're severing their relationship with him for good.
They're getting a little heat too. Well, they were doing that anyway. They're getting a little heat too.
They were probably moving on because he was difficult to deal with, I think they were saying. But this was it. So anyways, Adam Silver said, he's someone I've known for a decade, and I've never heard an anti-Semitic word from him or, frankly, hate directed to any group. So he just said, whether or not he's anti-Semitic, it's not relevant to the damage caused by posting of hateful content. And so that's, you know, where they are right now. Now, just to add to it, the owner of the team, Joe Tsai, also tweeted
who we didn't meet with,
that he and his wife met Kyrie and his family yesterday, spent quality time to understand each other, and it's clear to me that Kyrie does not have any beliefs of hate towards Jewish people or any group. So Kyrie does remain suspended, but now it's a matter of you're seeing, you know, some of the, I guess, forgiveness and reconciliation happening now.
And now you're starting to see the inswell of people putting the pressure on who it should be on, and that's Bezos.
Well, let's get to that. That certainly is now the next place, is this stuff maybe just doesn't belong in our society. The latest on Josh Allen, how the Bills should handle it moving forward. That's next. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.